welcome to a brand new unused opening day of the turkey season Saturday morning.
Wow! I feel good.
My goodness, I almost ran out of air. That's a long intro. Welcome to the program, everyone. Woman Williams is here. She's ready to take your call. Well, no, she's not really. We're at the mountain, and Jason will be taking your calls and looking after everything in the studio. We're high on the mountain up here. Well, and we're in the lodge on the mountain. Okay, we're not high on the mountain. Okay, well, welcome to the program, everyone. If should you love to join us during an open day of turkey season Saturday, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. It's my pleasure to list for you the people who bring you this wonderful program. Tough Shed, Hayes Family of Hayes Family of Cars. Striplings, Bug Band, Bojangles, Rockwell Tools, Stone Mountain Toyota, Whitetail Institute, Fisher's Choice, Canned Baits, Balmer Outdoors, Destination America, Fire Aid 2000, Fire Suppressor Units, and Arachnet. So there you are. We got that out of the way. And it's my, I love telling you about these things. Oh, what we're going to do today, we'll have the radio prize package, weather. We'll talk about the audience appreciation event, which I'm about to do, the Medal of Honor tribute, and of course, your calls, along with the radio prize package. That radio prize package is huge. It's unbelievable. We're going to do that today, and so many other things. I would ask you to... Let's talk turkeys this morning. What do you say over this first hour? Would you like to do that? I would like to do that, and I have some principles of turkey hunting that I have not developed myself, of course. I'm just an amateur, but boy, oh boy, I've been out there in the springtime with some really good turkey hunters, and I'm able to pass those things along to you and entertain your comments. And I gave you the telephone numbers. We'll do that again, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. That's outside the Atlanta Collier area. We're approaching. No, it's the month. I was going to say we're approaching our 25th anniversary, but it's May. Isn't it?
It's May.
It's May.
Okay. But I think it's the 24th anniversary.
No, it's 25th. Yeah, it's got to be the 25th because I've been telling everybody the 25th.
Well,
so it is. So there.
It's really 25
years on WSB.
I'll have to think about it.
Dave Baker says he's been on WSB longer, but he hasn't.
Longer than what?
Us.
Oh.
He's lying.
When did he say that?
Yeah, I heard him the other day on some kind of a thing. Anyway, there you are. We're going to have the Medal of Honor tribute, and we're talking turkeys this morning. Of course, springtime fishing is good. Water temperatures are high. It's been unusually warm. That determines that, along with the photo period, how much light's hitting the water. This week, on O'Neill Outside and the Southern Link Facebook page, we had some fun. We put a live broadcast of O'Neill here at the mountain on Facebook at Southern Link, and I guess you can still go and watch that, can't you? Can't you know about this Facebook
Yes,
stuff?
You can just
go to Southern Link, L-I-N-C, Southern Link. It's a cellular service by the Southern Company. It's associated, at least, and you can watch that. We entertain a lot of fishing questions, and when we do that, it magnifies the connection, if you will. And I always enjoy doing that. And again, it's not because I'm such a great fisherman. It's the fact I get to go to lots of good places and fish with lots of great fishermen. So we were doing that and reviewing those questions. I thought we might do a little bit of that this morning because it is springtime. Before we get too deeply into the turkey hunting story, for instance. People were sending in questions, and one of the questions was, should you look for calm water or windy water when you're fishing? You should look for places where the wind is at your back. You want the wind blowing up against the shore if you're a shallow water bass fisherman. or a shallow water fisherman in general, you want the wind at your back. Number two, you want the sun in your face. Because if it's behind you, the shadow of your boat, if it's over a brush pile, the shadow of your boat will inhibit your fishing. Inhibit your fishing. There's so many questions of that nature. One guy wrote in, he says, O'Neill, what's the longest distance you've ever traveled to go fishing? Answer, 3,500 miles. That was in Canada at a place called Carroll Lake and Carroll Lake Lodge. And we're catching walleye and northern pike, and we catch 100 a day. Again, not that I'm so good. There's lots of them there. There may not own a lot of those lakes in Canada in a place called the Canadian Shield. And it's called the Shield because during the last ice age, when the glacier moved, all the glacier was a mile thick, and it went all the way down to Iowa. And as it did that, it scraped the country in Canada. It scraped all of the topsoil off and all the dirt all the way down to the bedrock. So there's lots of lakes there, and there's not much dirt. There's a few trees. And it's called the Canadian Shield. And then when the ice retreated, it left the Great Lakes and all the lakes in the Canadian Shield. Gosh, the things you learn on this program is unbelievable, isn't it? Let's see, what's the temperature right now? Can you look up and give me the temperature? What's it, in the 40s up here now?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll look at it. Woman Williams is up.
Uh-huh.
It's a 58, you say, Jason?
Yes, sir. It's 58.5 in studio.
Typical engineer, 58.5.
Yeah.
That's right. Jason Byers is in the studio. He handles everything while we're shouting at you from the mountain. And, yeah, 58 degrees, and it's 14 after the hour. So I bet you're getting up to go turkey hunting. If you got everything together, I'll pass along to you a very important, I always thought, a very important interview with answers that I conducted, or Travis really conducted one day, with a fellow by the name of Roscoe Reams. Now, Roscoe is deceased now. He died when he was in his early 80s. And he was an outstanding turkey hunter, and many of you remember him. He was famous. He was an archer, an expert with the longbow. He appeared on the Steve Allen Show. He was in commercials in Life and Look magazine in archery, and he started hunting turkeys in the 1940s. In his career, he either helped or he took or helped somebody shoot. He called in over 600 turkeys, and he was outstanding at it. And Travis was on television with him one day, and he asked Roscoe on camera, he said, what is the most important thing about turkey hunting? Is it scouting? Is it calling? Is it the setup or the location? Is it being patient? And his answer was, whatever it is that you're doing at the time is the most important part of the hunt. And that applies to life, and it applies to turkey hunting, deer hunting, whatever it is. Make that, do not dismiss that part of the strategies as being unimportant. All of them are. In my experiences, and you can apply this to, if you will, to your strategies today, and throughout the season, he told me the aspect of that, of the strategies that gets you more birds and makes the hunt more successful, is patience. Will you take more birds right at sun up during the fly down? Probably so. But I can tell you in my experience with Roscoe and with so many other guys, I have probably taken just about as many turkeys at 10:30 and 11:30 and 12 o'clock as on during fly down. Don't give up. Patience kills turkeys. And so I asked the following question in that regard. Did you pattern your shotgun before this morning?
If you pattern it?
Pattern?
Mm-hmm. Pattern?
Pattern. Well, if you were using a rifle or a muzzler, you'd say, yeah, I'm sighting in to make sure that the scope and so forth puts you right on the target. Mm-hmm. This, you pattern your shotgun. You'll be surprised at how off your patterns can become when you haven't used them. And an unpatterned shotgun, or a shotgun that is off, indeed, it leaves wounded turkeys for wildcats. And it means that you don't get him. He flies away and he dies and he's food for wildcats and you missed your bird. And you did everything else right. You called. You got the location, the scouting. Everything was correct. But you didn't pattern your shotgun. You have to pattern your shotgun.
Do you have a canoodle nest?
Pardon me?
Do you have canoodle nest on your computer?
I do. Yes, I do.
Where?
On the computer.
Okay. Watch
out. Oh, you're looking for it right there.
Yeah.
Look in favorites. Look in your bookmarks and favorites, and you'll see the weather right down at the bottom. Okay. Personal conversation out of the way. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. More about turkey hunting and more about anything when we get back, I promise.
More of O'Neill Williams.
It's Turkey Day. Welcome, everyone. It's Turkey Day. Yes, indeed. But before we get to the radio prize package, let's chat with Lewis, and he's calling from somewhere in South Carolina. Good morning, Lewis.
Hey, good morning, O'Neill.
Hey, what do you say?
I noticed that the most important thing about that turkey hunt is you got to be very, very still. And
oh, yeah.
A lot of times you can overcall them turkeys. That's a big issue there, overcalling. A lot of times them toms won't call out as many times as we'll call out to them.
Oh, absolutely. We call too often and we call too loud.
That's right.
He can hear you. Well, I'm glad you're calling about that because it allows me to bring up, again, Roscoe Reams. I hunted with him several times, and the most number of times I ever heard him call was 5 times.
Right.
After you call 2 times, the turkey knows where you are. So you are correct.
I do know that our turkey population, I haven't heard that quota yet. In the Georgia area, what our turkey population is versus our deer population, but are they counting that this year?
Yes, we've got about 300,000 turkeys, but we've got 900,000 deer.
Okay.
But the hatch, I don't know how they know these things, but these are real smart guys. The hatch 2 years ago was outstanding.
Right.
So we have a good population of 2-year-old birds. I don't think you should shoot them until they're 3 years old, unless you have I don't think you should shoot the jakes. But
right.
But for a child in the woods and you got a jake, take him.
Well, I know that our limit this year in the state of Georgia is 3, I believe, what I heard on the DNR report this
Correct.
Year.
Correct.
Okay. Well, you have a good one, O'Neill.
Are you going today?
Probably not today, but maybe next week.
Well, there you go. Good luck to you, pal.
Thanks, sir.
Call me back. Let me know how you do. I'd appreciate that. That'd be great.
Right.
I'd love to know that. Thanks for calling, Lewis.
Yep.
You betcha. All right, let's see. It's 25 after the hour. Let's dive in here and do the radio prize package. Here's Woman Williams with the rules and the list of prizes, and then we'll scoop us up an answer here.
Okay, you must be 18 years old or older to win the prize package. If you've won one in the past couple of years, then you're not eligible. We'll let somebody else have this one. And you can win a Shakespeare Ugly Stick Spin Cast Combo, a $10 Bojangles gift card, a FireAid fire extinguisher, a Realtree hat and decal combo, a Roadrunner lure and package of True Turn hooks, a 2017 Fish and Game Forecaster, a Georgia State DNR Regulations Magazine, the latest edition of the Angler Magazine, and the latest edition of Dude Magazine. two tickets to the Go Fish Education Center in Perry, Georgia, a Georgia DNR hat, two Georgia State Parks and Historic Guides. There's only one of them, really. One can of Fisher's Choice wax worms and one can of Fisher's Choice crickets or shrimp. I think I'll have that for lunch. A cloak, scent-free clothes wash. One Bug Band product and a packet of the Bug Band wipes, which are actually my favorite.
Is that it?
Other than she says we cannot add or take away from this list.
All right, here's the question and the first of all, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255 on the East Coast outside of Atlanta. And the question is, last week from the WSB studio, we had our annual DNR visit with DNR personnel. One of those three DNR employees, professionals, was a biologist, a turkey biologist. What was his first name? Ooh, how about that? So there you are. Bottom of the hour, news, weather, sports, and traffic with Charlie O'Brien. Call and give us the correct answer, and we'll send you this whole big box of goodies. This is O'Neill. We'll be back.
Trying to sneak up
crab, crab Apple wrote that for us some years ago. Welcome back, everyone. We do have an answer to the radio prize package question. And after we scoop those things up, let's go ahead and talk to David from Jasper, Georgia. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. How about you? What are you doing up so early?
Well, I'm trying to get all my camping gear and fishing gear together.
Where are you headed?
I'm heading to Rock Creek right now.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, I know where that is.
But I was curious, do you know anything about the DNR release dates?
Yeah, they did that last week. Well, most of that was in the Chattahoochee. I do not know on a specific area. I think they did that 2 weeks ago.
Okay, is there any way I can find out when they're actually dumping or...
Probably so. I would only direct you to, and I'm sorry I can't direct you completely, but go to the Georgia Department of Natural Resources website.
Okay.
Under fishing and then the trout season, and I bet you can find out there.
Yeah, I've looked. Little boys that I'd like to catch some trout with.
Oh, yeah, man. Sure, absolutely. Well,
yes,
you live in Jasper?
Yes, sir.
I tell you, I know that it's kind of sterile and everything, but for children, it really doesn't matter. The stream there at the hatchery at Lake Burton.
Lake Burton's?
Yeah, at Lake Burton, there's a stream, a creek that feeds the lake, and it's right next to the Department of Natural Resources trout hatchery.
Okay, yes, sir.
That stream is always full.
Interesting.
Yes, I mean, you know, that all they do is take them out of the tanks and put them in the creek.
Oh, so they release them from there.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a fabulous place for kids to go. But, of course, and right next to it is one of those big state park campsites.
Yes, sir.
And, you know something, David? The children don't care.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they don't care. They don't care if the hatchery's right there.
Correct.
It doesn't have to be a pristine stream 15 miles from everywhere else.
Yes, sir.
Just so they're biting.
That's all we need.
Yeah, that's right. Well, good luck to you today.
Sir?
I say good luck to you today. I hope you catch a bucket full. And if you find out about that, this week, next week, whenever, let us know. We'll pass it along to everybody when they put the trout in, and I'll do the same.
Sounds like a plan.
You bet. Good luck to you today, pal.
All right, buddy.
Hey, do this. If you take some photos of your children catching trout today or this weekend,
okay,
send them to my Facebook page, and I'll put them on there.
All right, cool.
I love to put all the photos of children with fish. The children always have a smile on their face.
Yes, sir.
I know. Smiling. Good luck to you, pal.
Thank you.
You bet. See you soon. All right, let's wrap up the winner for the prize package. And the question was, last week on O'Neill Outside in the studio, we had visitors from the Department of Natural Resources. One of those fellows was a turkey biologist, a wildlife biologist. And the question was, what's his first name? And here's Kurt calling from Rockmart, Georgia. Good morning, Kurt.
Morning, O'Neill. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, my man. I guess you must have listened to the show last week.
Yeah, I did. That first name just kind of stuck with me there. For the life of me, I can't recall his last name, but his first name's the only one I can recall there. I don't know why. It just stuck with me, you know?
I understand. His first name and the answer to my question was?
Kevin.
Yes, sir. You got it. So you won quite a prize package. Give us a little while to get it to you. And one of the prizes was a Shakespeare rod and reel, and I want you to give that to a child.
I got a little daughter I'm going to give that thing to.
Good. Make it last a long time and take pictures.
Yeah. When do they take down your information? Do they, when you get through talking to you, or when do they
get
the information?
I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your address and all that sort of thing, and we'll send it to you.
Yeah, let me ask you something.
Sure.
I hate to sound stupid.
No.
And I started this year fishing with an old buddy of mine, and we started tipping our jigs with millworms, taking the when we're crappie fishing.
Yes.
We break them in half and we put them on there. Is a millworm and a waxworm the same thing?
Pretty much the same. You can't tell them apart.
Really?
One is bigger than the other one. I think a waxworm is larger.
Yeah,
but they look and smell the same. How does that work for you? Does it work putting them on the jig?
It works fantastic. We take it in, like if you got one that's got a feather on it, you sit there and you just, that extra juice you have, you smear it all over those feathers and get it worked in there and you tip it. And I caught a 2.5-pounder up at Lake Altoona, Stamp Creek. A crappie 2 weeks ago, and we were just sitting still. We wasn't even moving. That jig wasn't even moving at all, which I know people don't believe that, but there's always some water moving somewhere. You know, water's moving, and it's moving those feathers even when you sit still when you got them under a float.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the float gives it plenty of action.
Yes, I really enjoy doing that. I like just slow trolling anyway. That's just my favorite way to fish.
That's right. You can rake them in when you're slow trolling.
Yeah. In fact, we was up there and it was in Stamp Creek, and we was part of the management area up there for the Altoona Wildlife Management Area, and we seen a gobbler real early. He was working his hen. I never had seen him do that. He was where the water was down. He was taking his wings and beating them on the ground, just trying every way in the world to get her attention. And she was right there, and she didn't want nothing to do with him. And then he flew across the creek there. It's about 100 yards. And he flew across there, and then the woods just come alive with turkeys.
We
counted close to 50 turkeys right there in one bunch. What makes so many of them flock up together like that?
Well, they're still together like that. You know, right now, they're... The gobbler's trying to round them all up, and I get where there's some other gobblers in that group. There must have been.
Yeah, there was. There was a lot of jakes in there we seen.
Okay.
And I noticed the younger birds seem like they got more of a brownish tint to their wings. It seems like to me. I may be wrong about that.
Well, one thing about turkeys in a drove like that, in a flock, it's really called a drove.
A drove.
That's what you call a group of turkeys.
Okay,
and that in a drove like that, turkeys are very argumentative.
I bet they are.
They're always squawking and fighting and pecking each other, and they're always trying to establish dominance one on the other. And yeah, it's very, very interesting to observe them. You know, quite frankly, Kurt, turkey hunting, pulling the trigger on a turkey is not a big deal. It's getting them in front of you is the trick.
We enjoyed that so much.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Keith Payne, and he just retired. And, we're getting to fish more and more, which I'm still having to work. But I'm looking forward to retiring and getting used to being able to do all that stuff.
Oh, more fantastic. And more, well, it's fun watching to observe the relationship and the activity when a gobbler is trying to induce a hen to mate.
It amazed me how he done. He was making some kind of a weird sound. It was just real loud. Like almost, I never had observed that. You know, it's just like years ago we used to go down to Piedmont Wildlife Management Area, or National Refuge, and hunt deer down there. And them deer down there used to bark at you down there almost. And if you spooked them, have you ever heard them do that?
I have indeed. Yes, they live in almost a silent world, but indeed not quite.
And when they get scared, they let you know it.
You betcha. Hey, good luck to you. You got a prize package. Give us a little while to get it to you. Good luck to you, Kurt.
Look forward to it, O'Neill. Thank you for what you do and your show there.
Mighty fine. I'm going to put you back on hold so that we get you information and everything and we get the package to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, pal. There you are. 46 after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. And telephone numbers are 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. One of the things that Kurt brought up there that you might be surprised if you haven't observed it before, but Kurt did when he was at Allatoona at the park, and that is turkeys are outstanding flyers. As a matter of fact, they can fly about 40 miles an hour over long distances. When I was, I've hunted before in Idaho. That's a different species, but I have seen them fly mountain to mountain, mountainside to mountainside, and it had to be, oh my goodness, it had to be a mile at least that they would fly from one place to another. Okay, I need to get out of here for a break. Steve, the rest of you guys hold on. This is O'Neill, and I'll be back.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
The top of the hour, first hour of O'Neill Outside is with you right now. We're talking to Steve. He's calling from Ackworth, Georgia. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, O'Neill.
Hey, what do you say?
Just got a quick question for you, and I'm curious as to what the calculations does DNR use to determine opening day of turkey season?
Opening day of turkey season?
Yes. I always thought it was the first Saturday after spring solstice, but somebody's telling me it's as early as the 19th.
Well, this year it's the 25th, and yep. I would imagine they would change those dates historically according to the level of activity in the gobblers according to the photo period and their experience on certain days. I don't think it has anything to do so much whether it's the second week or third week or whatever. They leave them set for quite a long time. Of course, they're kind enough to do it during the gobbling season, the mating season, or we never would kill any.
That's right. Yeah, I was just curious how they come about it from year to year.
It's
consistent. It's always on a Saturday, of course.
Yeah. It's consistent. I know that, and it's according to the number of turkeys that are available, too, how the hatch has been over the last few years. I know, the turkey season in Alabama started 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So, but they've got the same number of hours of daylight, so maybe they've got a different size of the flock. That maybe there are more turkeys in Alabama instead of Georgia's. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just curious about it. I appreciate it.
You know, I thought it was interesting last week that Kevin Lowry, the turkey biologist that was on the show, told me that he says that it's the hen is the one who makes the mating season happen. If she's not ready, it doesn't matter about the gobbler. If she's not ready to accept him, then he's just flapping his wings and causing nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, like the rest of us, right?
Exactly.
Like the rest of us. All right, my good friend, good luck to you, pal.
Thank you, O'Neill. We appreciate you.
You bet. See you later. There you go. 54 after the hour. And here's, we've got Travis on the line. Good morning, Trav.
Hey, I just want to let everybody know that they made a mistake. Turkey season's been closed. I'm already down here, so I'm just going to stay down there and make sure, you know, nobody gets in trouble, but everybody else go home.
That's right. Yeah, it's really not open. Leave it all to Travis.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be a good opening morning, or there's no moon. You're going to be able to get in there in the dark.
Yep.
This morning, hopefully, he's not going to see you. And real quick, I was riding down the road and wanted to remind everybody, it's just a turkey, so don't be doing anything crazy. Don't hurt yourself or somebody else.
Oh, man, yeah. I read the other day in I've forgotten where the read was, a magazine column or something, and one guy was talking about how he got stalked by another turkey hunter.
Right. Well, I actually, what made me think about this was
opening day last year. I called up a turkey for somebody else that I didn't know I was hunting with.
Oh. Oh, you didn't know he was there?
I had no idea he was there. He was about 100 yards in front of me, and I caught that bird right up into his lap, and he shot and killed him, and it was a bird I'd been hunting for about 3 years.
Oh.
So it was about the most inconsiderate thing I'd ever seen in my life.
That's great. Well, see, you can chalk that one up as another one that you called in.
Well, that's right. I don't know if he knows it or not, but I have been telling everybody I called that bird up for him. So.
Well, there you go. You can claim it. Nobody's going to challenge that.
That's right.
So you hunting public land this morning?
I will be.
Okay, good for you. So, all right, did you have a chance to sight in that shotgun?
It was already good.
Okay,
I'll never do it again, but I shot a 5-gallon bucket with it, and it flipped over in the air about 5 times and landed right back on its lid just like it was sitting. I said, I'll never do that again, but the gun's sighted in.
You bet. That 3.5-inch shell will stand you right up, won't it?
Well, there's a reason that I use the CVA Apex shotgun barrel for turkey hunting.
Okay, and that
it's only a single shot, and a lot of people, I've talked to several people that said, I want to have more than one shell. I said, well, if you take the time and check your choke and your shot size and shells and really find the pattern that works best for that gun, which I have done, I said, it doesn't take but one shot, and we've shot birds with this gun at 75 yards and dropped them dead in the tracks.
Oh, yeah, that's reaching out there. I've got 15 seconds here, and I referred to this earlier in the show. What was it that Roscoe Reams told you was the most important? Calling, location, stealth, camo, what was it?
Whatever you were doing at the time.
Yep. That's a lesson in life.
Don't worry about anything else.
Take care of that. Good luck to you, pal. Call me later and tell me what you do.
I'll do it.
All right. Good luck to you. See you later. This is O'Neill. First hour of O'Neill Outside's out of the way. There's more turkey hunting. There's more fishing. There's more outdoors in the second hour. And if you stay right there, you will be able to listen. This is O'Neill.